The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Glad to have you here. My name's Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here. And man, thank you for joining us in worship this first Sunday of 2022. And we typically, for those of you maybe who are new with us, we'll be teaching through books of the Bible. But for January, we're going to do things a little bit different. Today is really just an opportunity to talk a little bit about some ways in which we as a staff are praying for our congregation heading into the new year. And then we're going to spend a couple of weeks talking through our mission statement, why we say that this is who we are and what we're about. Because it's always good to be reminded, to be recalibrated about who we are as a church family. And so that's where we're going to be for most of January. This is exciting. We're implementing some new things in January, and we'll continue to roll some of these things out. Some more later today, some others throughout the month of January. But we're going to start doing something that I'm excited about. Every fifth Sunday is going to be Family Worship Sunday. And so what I mean by that is we're not going to have Summit Kids. And everybody's going to be in here worshiping together. The services will be tailored to that. You will not have your two-year-old in here listening to me or Josh just wax eloquent for 65 minutes. Hopefully never, ever should you hear us talk for 65 minutes. But we'll try to make sure that we involve families in that and hope that it's a sweet and encouraging time for all of us. And so every fifth Sunday is going to be that. And if y'all duck out and don't show up on the fifth Sunday, then I'll know why, what's going on. But we're going to be this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, open them to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Those of you that know me are like, of course, you get a chance to talk about whatever you want to talk about, and you're going to talk about something from the Old Testament. But hopefully it's an encouragement to you. Would you pray with me as we begin our time studying God's word together? Father, we love you. We need you. I was thinking this morning and praying this morning and asking that you would help me believe that, and help us believe that 2022 is not a new year. It's not the future for you. You're there. You go before us, just as you have gone with us in and through the last couple of difficult years. And so, God, I ask more than anything else, you would help us to trust you today. Trust that you're faithful. Trust that you're good. Trust that you're present. Trust that you care. Trust that there is nothing outside the bounds of your control. And even when we do not understand what you're up to something. And so, Lord, we ask all of that, knowing that, man, we can't make ourselves believe that. We can't rationalize our minds into that. That is a supernatural work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And so may it be so. We love you. We need you. And we ask all of this in your good name, Jesus. Amen. Well, sometimes you hear something that you've heard 1,000 times before, or you listen or you watch something that you've seen again and again, and for some reason on the 1,001st time, things hit you differently than they ever have before, right? You realize something or process something or are struck by something that's new in something that probably isn't new to you. So something like that happened to me this December as we were working our way through our Advent readings with our girls. So every day we would read a piece of the story kind of around the birth of Jesus, leading up to and around the birth of Jesus. And on two consecutive days, we read the stories of two remarkable people who, when you read through the Christmas story, almost seem a little bit like footnotes, but they grabbed a hold of me. So you're maybe familiar with Luke 2. Yeah, the story of Jesus's birth. So Mary and Joseph, they go to Bethlehem because of a census, and there's no place for the very, 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 very pregnant Mary to stay. No hospital for her to have her baby in, so she ends up giving birth to Jesus in an animal pen. The birth is announced by angels who show up and just scare the mess out of some shepherds, and so on and so forth. But right after all of that takes place, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, as Luke tells of the baby Jesus being brought to the temple in order to be circumcised and in order for the necessary sacrifices to be made, Luke also mentions two characters, Simeon and Anna. And Simeon and Anna were two elderly folks who, the text says, spent a great deal of time in the temple worshiping the Lord. They had an incredibly intimate relationship with the Lord as they were waiting, anticipating that they would meet the coming Messiah, and both of them greet the baby Jesus as they meet him in the temple as the one that they had been waiting and waiting and waiting for to redeem the people of Israel. The story goes on, right? But I couldn't. I kept thinking about Simeon and Anna. These folks were maybe both in their 80s. The text speaks of Simeon as someone who was so close to the Lord that the Lord told him, hey, before you die, you're going to meet the Messiah. And when he met Jesus, the Spirit came over Simeon and he blessed the baby Jesus right there. And Anna had been a widow for decades and decades. She spent every day at the temple. And she too, upon seeing the newborn Christ, praised God for his faithfulness toward his people. Now we catch Simeon and Anna at the end of their stories. I don't know how long they lived after they met the baby Jesus. They were probably in their twilight years. And I find myself wondering what their lives were like before all of this, right? We have no reason to believe that they were extraordinary in any way. We get a little bit of biographical information about them, and it's emphasized. What's emphasized about Simeon is his intimacy with the Lord and the promise from God that he would see the Messiah. And for Anna, Luke makes it a point to tell of her faithful presence in the temple day after day and her praise for the Lord when she met Jesus. But the years of their lives leading up to this point had to have been marked, just like everyone else's, by sickness and grief and joy and confusion and hope and worry and waiting. Right? There had to be days when Anna was frustrated and wearied and didn't want to get out of bed and didn't want to go to the temple because she was confused by her lot in life. And there were probably days when the Lord seemed really distant to Simeon, right? That's stuff that we know all too well. Maybe those are feelings that you've had sometime over the course of the last couple of weeks. But what we see in these tiny little glimpses that we get of Simeon and Anna's lives is, simply put, the fruit of faithfulness. They were attendant to the things of God. They were attendant to the voice of God and the ways of God. And what happened? God quite literally met them, not because they were remarkable, but because they were faithful. Because they were there. This sermon is not ultimately about Simeon and Anna. But they begin to set in my mind kind of the wheels in motion a few weeks ago as I thought about, man, what do I want to share with you all today? What's on my heart for you, for us as a congregation as we step into this new year? And maybe some of you, right, have you made like, who are resolution people in here? That's okay, this is great. Well, this isn't going to hit as many of you as I thought, maybe. Incredibly disappointed. I'm just kidding. I haven't made any either yet. But for those of you who have set these kind of resolutions and goals, maybe some of you have these gigantic dreams and plans as you step into the new year, and that's good and that's right. But as I thought about my own life, as I thought about you and as I prayed for you, I kept coming back to Simeon and Anna. What would it look like to run after that kind of life? a life where I am attendant, where we are attendant to the things of God, where I am intimately aware when God speaks to me and what his voice sounds like. My first response in my life is to celebrate God's faithfulness, not because I've done anything spectacular, but because I'm increasingly aware of just how good and just how glorious our God actually is. So can I tell you, as we head into 2022, my prayer for you and my prayer for my own life is pretty simple. It's that we would be captivated by the Lord so that we pursue a moment by moment faithfulness every day. That we would ask the question each day, God, what do you want? What does faithfulness look like to you? What does faithfulness look like in this conversation and in this interaction and with this time that I've been given and with these resources and with these relationships and with this opportunity that I have? My prayer is that we would be a people who ask the question, God, what does faithfulness to you look like in the mundane, everyday stuff of life? At work, at school, at home, in my car, at the grocery store, in the doctor's office, at staff meetings. God cares about all of that. The question is, do I live as if God actually cares about all of that? God, what does faithfulness to you look like in the mundane stuff of life today? So this is kind of the trajectory of what I've been praying for you, what I've been praying for us as we head into 2022. But how do we do that? What might that look like? So to answer those questions, briefly, I want to turn your attention to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a passage that maybe you've heard before, probably you've heard before if you've been in church much. And this was central to Israel's understanding of who God was. It was central to their understanding of who they were as a people. It was absolutely central to their understanding of what it meant to worship. This passage comes in the midst of what is a sermon, essentially, that Moses preaches to the people as they head into, they're getting ready to head into the promised land after they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And it's one of the most formative passages, I think, in the whole Bible to help us think well about what it means to pursue mundane, everyday faithfulness. Simeon and Anna kind of faithfulness. So here's what Moses says beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. We're going to read through verse 12. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Now there are a million different directions that we could ultimately go in walking through this passage. Right? It's a little bit like walking into Disney World, which I think is where Josh and Sarah and the boys are maybe today on vacation, which is great. But it's like walking into Disney World and going, so where do I start? A lot. There's so much to see, so much to do. But I want you to keep something in mind as we think about what Moses says here. Right? Like I said, he's essentially speaking a sermon to the people of Israel as they're preparing to step into the promised land. And I can tell you, as somebody who writes and presents a fair number of sermons, any sermon that I offer you, my goal is never that you would simply walk out of here gaining some information. My hope and my prayer is that you would internalize the text, that you would listen to the Spirit, and that you would walk away with really practical ways that you can implement the truth of God's word in the midst of your everyday life, right? I want the word to move from your head and your heart to your hands. Now, this is going to come as a shock to you. Moses is a much better preacher than I ever will be, but his goal here is similar. In that he isn't just telling the people of Israel something about God. He wants them to experience God in such a way that the whole of their lives are built around this understanding of God that he's trying to give to them. He lifts the eyes of the people to see the Lord and who God really is, but he does so with the express purpose of hoping and believing and trusting that this will shape their everyday lives. So we're going to come back and touch on these things. But after Moses talks about the uniqueness and the singularity of God in verse 4, right, in what's known as the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then after he gives them a call to love the Lord and obey his commands in verses 5 and 6, where does he go in verses 7 through 9? Well, he tells the people that the things of God, that the truth about God and from God's word and the ways that God has proven himself faithful over and over and over again in their lives, these things should be at the forefront of their consciousness every day. So he says things like, man, as you're going about your daily life, talk about the Lord with your friends and family. Remind your children of the ways that the Lord has been faithful. Remember together with others the ways in which God has answered prayers. When you talk, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up, the things of God should be at the center of your awareness in the midst of everyday life. And that's essentially what he says in verse 7, right? This is all of life stuff. And then verses 8 and 9 give these really practical, tangible ways to keep God at the forefront. These were things that many Jews took literally, right? They put scripture in little containers that they attached to their sleeves or hung on their foreheads, or scripture was engraved on the door frames of their homes. But the message in all of this is clear. God and the things of God and the truth about God should season every moment of every day of our lives. Not just for 75 minutes on a Sunday during worship or when we gather for life group or whatever, but as we go about the business of simply living, be attendant to the things of God. So why does Moses go here? Why does he emphasize this as he does? It's because he knows. He knows that if the people are not attendant to the things of God, if they simply put God into a category of religious stuff that gets their attention once or twice a week, it's compartmentalized, it's in its place. Well, if that happens, other things will inevitably grab their attention. So for the people of Israel, the temptation would be, I'm going to be overwhelmed with, I'm going to be drawn in by the good life, the good things that God has provided for me as I step into the promised land, and I'm going to forget how truly dependent on the Lord I actually am. They'd start to believe the lie that they were the ones who had done this. They were the ones who had conquered the land. They were the ones who had built these cities and established these homes and created this life for themselves. And so maybe we can get away with turning to the Lord when things get sideways, but right now things are good and I'm good. The Lord would inevitably become an afterthought, and that's what happened, right? That's ultimately why Israel went into exile. They forgot. They were not faithful. They were not attendant to the things of God every day. Instead, they became religious in their practices, but faithless and unaware of the everyday activity of the Lord. So Moses here in Deuteronomy 6 is pointing Israel, he's pointing us toward what this faithful life looks like. But it can feel daunting, yeah? It does for me. Because it's easy for me to read this description or to have in my mind this idea of what a faithful life looks like, the ways in which I want faithfulness to characterize me. But then as I look at the lives of others who are maybe a little bit further along in their faith journey, people who seemingly to me have their faith figured out, it can be overwhelming because they feel far from where I am right now, far from where I want to be. It's easy to forget that the people that Moses was speaking to in this moment, the people that he was calling to be attendant to the things of God, to practice an everyday kind of faithfulness, they were not spiritual giants. They were normal folks like us. Right? They'd lived through this tremendously powerful experience of being led from exile in Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, through the wilderness for 40 years. But at the end of the day, man, they were carpenters. And they were brickmakers. And they were farmers. And they were midwives. And any number of other things. And they were just trying to love their families and make sense of their lives and grow in their faith. And every now and then falling absolutely flat on their faces as they tried to pursue the Lord. And what that tells me is that this everyday, wonderfully mundane kind of faithfulness is possible for you and me. It's possible for us to actually be attendant to the things of God in the midst of our chaotic and crazy lives. And we look at Simeon and Anna at the end of their stories and think, I don't know that that could ever be me. But what we don't see are the little decisions, the daily moments, the moment on a regular Tuesday in first century BC Palestine when a sleepy and grumpy Simeon or an Anna who's wrestling with bitterness has to decide, man, I've been waiting on the Lord for a long time. Am I still going to trust him today when I don't feel like it? These are the kinds of people. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. I'm all for having big, crazy, exciting goals for the coming year. And if you want to read through the Bible 7 times in Greek and Hebrew, and also read 107 other books, make sure we all know about that on social media, and also do an Ironman, and also learn Mandarin Chinese, go for it. But you know what I want us to be even more concerned about than pushing ourselves in those ways? Man, it's waking up on a Tuesday morning when we're exhausted, even though the work week seemingly has just begun, and we're frustrated with work, and we're ticking through this mental list of everything that we have to do, everything that has to happen, and in that moment, we stop and we say, God, you're here. You care about every part of this Tuesday, and you love me. And so what does faithfulness to you look like today? I read an article about a man in Spain. His name is super fun to say. Justo Gallego Martinez. I really just included this illustration so I could say his name. Pam McCraw's not even in here to give me like a high five for saying that with proper intonation. But anyway, this man was, he's a Spanish guy born in 1925. And he knew tragedy. Right? He had lived through the Spanish Civil War. He had lost folks that he had loved. But in 1961, at the age of 36, because of his love for the Lord, because of his love for the church, he decided that he wanted to build something to demonstrate that love. And so for 60 years, 6 days a week, for 10 hours a day, working almost exclusively by himself, using almost exclusively donated or scrapped supplies, brick by brick, this man built this. Yes, that's the appropriate response. So there's a main cathedral. There's some adjacent buildings, right? There's a chapel. There's a smaller library. All in all, it totals more than 86,000 square feet. At its tallest point, it is more than 130 feet tall. I think they were doing, everything was in meters, and so I had to do some quick calculation there. So there's another picture, Barrett. If you go to the next one, there's of the inside. By himself. Like if you and I were to walk down the street in this town in Spain without knowing the backstory, there is no way in the world that we would think that this man built this entirely by himself, but he did. By getting up and going about his business over the course of 18,700, give or take, days, and brick by brick by brick, this cathedral grew. And we live in a microwaved society. We want to treat our lives and our discipleship like we treat our chicken tenders. We want them fast and perfect every time. But we don't snap our fingers and magically get a life defined by everyday faithfulness. It takes those little decisions every day to be attendant to the things of God, to trust, to rehearse truth on the days when lies are screaming down the corridors of your mind and your heart, to surround yourself with people who really know you and say, "All right, God, what do you have for me today?" And so that's how I want to close with you this morning. How do we do that? Like, how are we attendant every day to the things of God? How do we live out this everyday faithfulness? Essentially, what we're asking is, if this is Moses' sermon here in Deuteronomy 6, what are his application points? Right? Because it seems like these big takeaways from Moses could be pretty overwhelming. So if Moses were a Baptist preacher and he had 3 points to conclude this section of his sermon, they might run something like this. This section of Deuteronomy 6, the 3 main points are: know the Lord, love and obey the Lord, and then rehearse the things of God with others in the midst of everyday life so that you don't forget the Lord. I'll say those again. Know the Lord, love and obey the Lord, and then rehearse the things of God with others in the midst of everyday life so that you don't forget the Lord. That's it. Easy enough, right? But remember, right, these are not just propositions to understand. This is truth to be transformed by. And so how might this translate into our everyday lives? How might this shape our pursuit of everyday faithfulness? Truth is, I cannot answer precisely what that looks like for you in your life and in your relationship with the Lord. But I can tell you that what Moses is driving at with this call to everyday faithfulness, that what we see in these brief glimpses of Anna's life and Simeon's life, is that intimacy with the Lord is central to everything. Like, if I'm gonna wake up on a Tuesday morning and my head is screaming, going 100 miles a minute, and my anxiety level is increasing, and my sense of frustration or, you know, despondency or purposelessness or whatever is growing with every second that I'm awake, and those things, they're yelling at me some pretty significant lies about myself, about my world, about the Lord. But if that's how I'm going to wake up, even if it's just some of the time in the midst of everyday life, well, how am I going to know what God might be trying to say to me in the midst of that mess? If I'm actually going to ask God, "Hey, what does faithfulness to you look like in this moment?" How am I going to know what his voice sounds like so that I can obey? When I'm in a conversation at work, and I know that the person in front of me is absolutely lighting the fuse to the stick of dynamite that is inside my mind, and I am about to unleash a holy fury of anger, Well, those words that are about to come out of my mouth don't come from my head, they come from my heart. So what's shaping those? What's keeping them from coming tumbling out? I can't answer those questions for you each day, but I can introduce ways that we can pursue everyday faithfulness together. Ways that we can be attentive to God and the things of God together this year. And so taking my cues from Moses, I've got three things. And the first is this. We have a reading plan that we're going to introduce that I'm going to email to you if you're a part of our mailing list, email list. Or if you're not, you can go to that QR code right there and sign up to be a part of the Summit Spartanburg mailing list. But you're going to get it in your email inbox this afternoon that starts tomorrow. We'll have printed copies for you hopefully by next week. But as a church family, we are going to read through the entire New Testament over the course of 2022. Some books we're going to get to twice. It's essentially one chapter a day. Now, we won't exclusively be teaching on Sunday morning from the New Testament, but we wanted to provide a clear and accessible way for us to together pursue daily intimacy with the Lord. And from that, together pursue faithfulness to the Lord so that we might together ask the question, God, what does faithfulness to you look like today? And do that informed by the truth of God's word. So if, as Moses implies, intimacy with the Lord and community with other believers go hand in hand, this is one way that we want to do that together with you. So that's number one. Number two, I want to invite you. This is an invitation, not an expectation. I want to invite you to memorize 12 passages of Scripture with me this year. This is not something that is church-wide across all of Summit. This is me, as a disciple of Jesus, laying bare before you that I know I need this. I don't need to just read God's word and ingest it and not actually hold on to it in my heart and in my mind over the course of every day. I've noticed how easy it is for me to spend time with the Lord and then go about the business of my day and not have that shape the conversations that I have, the thoughts that I think. So I need this. I'm going to be laboring after this. And so I wanted to invite you in this with me. One passage a month. I've got printed copies of this available here. It's super fancy. I showed it to Bethany last night, and she was like, yeah, that'll work. That'll be great. So it's not fancy, but you can at least slip it into your Bible and keep it there, laminate it maybe. I don't know if you're that kind of person. But 12 passages of Scripture that we can hide in our hearts to inform everyday faithfulness in our lives. And I'll try to figure out ways for us to hold one another accountable to this. And the third is this, I want to invite you into Jesus pursuing community. For some of you, that looks like stepping into a life group. But for many of you here, you're in a life group. And my challenge to you is this, how are you every week sharing with others what God is up to in your life in a way that is unprompted and unscheduled? Like, I'm talking about times outside of a life group meeting when you text some folks some specific things that the Lord has laid on your heart. I'm talking about moments of honest confession with brothers and sisters who you know love you and are for you. I'm talking about impromptu coffees when you just share. Hey, this is what God's teaching me. These are ways I need to grow. I read a pastor one time who said that you can either be known or impressive, but never both. And I would invite you to see the value and the beauty of being known rather than being impressive. I want this year to be a good one for us, for you. I want it to be filled with exciting new things. I want it to be filled with the end of COVID and all things COVID and a renewed and better way of life for all of us. I'm excited about what God has for our church family in this new year and to continue to roll those things out with you and to celebrate the Lord's faithfulness. I want you to experience joy. I pray those things for you. But I also know that this year will inevitably be hard too. Maybe more challenging than last year. So how do we fortify our faith and strengthen our friendships and grow our love for the Lord and grow our love for others in whatever this year brings? It's everyday faithfulness. It's being attendant to the Lord and whatever he has for us in the midst of the mundane stuff of everyday life. And so more than anything else, that is my prayer for you. That is my prayer for me. That is my prayer for us for 2022. I love you. Let's pray. Father, you don't ask us to have all of the answers. You don't ask us to develop the perfect spreadsheet plotting a course for what 2022 is going to look like. You don't ask us to manufacture faith. Because at the end of the day, those are things that you hold in your hand. Those are things that only you can do and accomplish in us. And so more than anything else, you ask us to trust you, to listen to you, to say yes where you say yes and no where you say no, to wait when you call us to wait, and to believe that you are good. And so God Almighty, would you meet us? Would you meet us in and through your word? Would you grow our love for time with you? Would you show us the value and the beauty of being known and being loved rather than being impressive? Would you remind us every day when we wake up and ask that question, God, what do you want? What does faithfulness to you look like today? Would you remind us of what is right and good and true? Would we learn to hear your voice in a way that cuts through all of the noise that confronts us in all of this? We confess our dependence upon you. And we thank you. Because as we pursue everyday faithfulness, we know that you are absolutely, holy, perfectly faithful to us. We ask all of this in your good name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.